Everyone, Bruce Edwin here with Subnormal Magazine. I'm speaking with Jonathan from Urban Heat. Jonathan, how are you today?
I'm well. It's actually my birthday, so I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, no way. Well, happy birthday. They're putting you to work on your birthday, huh?
I put myself to work.
I love it. That's cool. Now, your band, I read you started like about 4 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, kind of like right before the pandemic. We kind of did our first couple of gigs right before things sort of shut down, sort of started gaining some momentum locally here. And we'd all been playing together in projects while together, but kind of gigging together in different bands for like 15 years around, and got the opportunity to sort of start playing together. Then the pandemic happened. We all went.
That's awesome. Did I hear you say 15 years before you were playing together?
I think I've been in town. I've been in Austin for maybe that's an exaggeration. I've been here for maybe 10, 12 years.
Okay.
And just started playing in bands. And when we were all kind of like adjacent bands, you know, like the Austin scene felt very small at that time. And you kind of found yourself kind of always playing with the same people, you know?
Cool. I mean, once, not to date, you know, myself, but like back, you know, in the day, like a lot of the old punk mags and stuff like that were, you know, they would have like scene reports and cover different areas of the music scene across country and world. I remember Austin's always had a good music scene. I never really knew much about it, though, but, you know, like I couldn't name like a particular band that came out of Austin until you guys.
Oh, word. Well, I will take that as a
compliment. Well, yeah, or maybe just my lack of awareness. I mean, I'm sure there's been many others, but I know Alan Jorgensen from Ministry moved to Texas for a while. I think he may be back in Burbank now. I'm not sure, but that's kind of some history there. What's Texas like for you? I mean, Texas, obviously, Austin, I've heard, is kind of like its own mecca, you know, not like the rest of Texas. I haven't really visited there much, but what's it like for you growing up, you know, coming from there and everything?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, Austin is an oasis here. There is a lot of, like, you know, Texas politics and things like that that are very stressful, but
yeah,
there is something about, you know, these wide open spaces and the sort of independent spirit that I can get down with. You know, there's nice. Something about Texas. There's a little magic about it that I'm into it.
Cool. Well, I definitely love the weather. I mean, I finally got out to L.A. after being in Chicago for years, so I love
the transition.
What's that?
I'm sure that was a nice transition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was finally ready for it. Well, that's really cool. So, you guys sound like, I mean, for only being together for 4 years, it sounds like you've been together for such a long time because, I mean, I'm personally a fan of your work, so really, really loving the band. What started you down this path? I mean, did you have vocal training or, you know, anything like that? Did you go to school for music?
Yeah, I did really like competitive singing and stuff in high school.
Wow.
But not much more like formal training past that. You know, we did like some international competitions and things like that as far as like choral groups, you know.
Cool.
And my voice was kind of always relegated to doing harmonies and stuff in the back because it didn't feel like I had a strong enough lead voice.
Little did they know.
Yeah, and so like stuff like this like allowed me to sort of really branch into that more.
Nice.
Yeah, and I think part of the cohesiveness in our sound is you know, the guys who really have faith in me and my songwriting and my vision for this project. And
yeah.
So I think there's sort of a singular kind of focus with it that kind of allows us to, you know, I think finding a sound together when, you know, some bands work in a way where everybody's sort of contributing equally to the sort of sonic footprint, and that can work really well, but it can also take a really long time to sort of work out those kinks. And I think, guys had faith in just like in my like sort of singular vision for this and how that has evolved. I think it really let us sort of hit the ground running and just sort of evolve that together.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, because like I said, I mean, it sounds like you guys have been together far longer than 4 years, you know, and your songwriting, I mean, that's one thing that always bothers me about a lot of bands is that there are, you know, a lot of incredible bands out there, but some of their songwriting is just not consistently great. But I mean, every one of your songs I've heard, I mean, really great songwriting. So tell me about that, please.
Well, first, Bruce, that is an incredible compliment. Thank you, man.
Absolutely.
I don't know, you know, like my process is just kind of find a synthesizer that like you really want to use and kind of try out and just kind of plug it in and see what sort of sound design you can get out of it and start working Lindrum samples and just different, you know, sort of 70s and 80s drum sounds and then I think I grew up in the church and kind of always singing and arranging. I was always around sort of like choral arrangements, which had very like big emphasis on harmony and melody and things like that. And I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music growing up. And so I think there's an element of that that still kind of creeps into my songwriting. Yeah, and then maybe that has something to do with, you know, the way that the song sort of read.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely, because I mean they're very complex. I mean, many, you know, even a lot of new songs. I listen to a lot of so-called experimental pop now by a lot of female vocalists, but even some of those songs that I like a lot, they're just missing the basic song structure. But you actually know, you know, how to compose a song. You've got, you know, all the elements in there with the, you know, bridge and the pre, you know, chorus and everything. So it's, yeah, definitely very cool.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, I think I've always sort of written kind of in the pop structure. I feel like the pop structure is less limiting and more about communication. It's sort of like how a sentence has to have, you know, a subject and a verb in order to make sense. And so to me, I think, you know, starting things, not really like limiting yourself to the pop structure, but I think starting things with that pop structure just sort of makes sense to me in my writing. You know, like you kind of have a really cool groove and you dig into that groove for a while, and then you have the option to like, okay, we could just create a vibe and stay in this groove, or we could do something unexpected or do something exciting or make it move somewhere. And I always want things to move. I always want things to go somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. A number of your tracks, like "World on Fire" and of course "That Gun in Your Hand," are very kind of have an aspect of social commentary. I mean, not even an aspect, right? They obviously are. So, particularly with the video of "World on Fire," what is kind of your impetus for this, and is there any history with, you know, gun violence or anything, or kind of what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, being in Texas, guns are a pretty regular part of everyday life. I think I was talking about this with a friend lately, you know, like my social consciousness and social justice does bleed through a lot of my work because I'm writing from experience, writing about things that I care about. But I think at the end of the day, it's sort of like creation and self-expression is what I think is like the most important, like my driving factor. And the problem and the reason that social justice has to get involved is because, you know, in order to get to a place where everybody is free to create and express themselves, like we have to have basic human needs taken care of, you know, food, clothing, shelter. We need to make sure that we're not, you know, dying from gun violence, so we're not worried about being incarcerated for minor infractions. And so I think I'd rather not have a social justice focus, but I feel like, you know, in order to get to a place where everybody's free to really live to their full selves, and I think we kind of have to, we got shit we got to address, you know, and we're sort of creating a non-sustainable planet for ourselves and for our children. And like, yeah, I don't, you know, it's tough because I don't want all my music to be a downer, you know, but there's some, I want to write about real shit, my feelings about that, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when I came out of film school from Hollywood, you know, they were like, oh, you know, don't talk about sex, politics, or religion. And that was like all my main topics we discuss in Subnormal Magazine, you know? So I'm like, oh, great. You know, so a lot of self-censorship went on, but then when you brought up the pandemic, when that happened, it was so hard to kind of stifle that type of conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and with the pandemic, everybody, you know, we started focusing and thinking about mental health more, and you can't really address mental health without thinking about all the stressors that are on us every day and thinking about how we exist within a, you know, socio-political system that kind of wants to exploit every ounce of sweat out of every person. And like, human happiness is not a you know, human living a fulfilling life is not high on the totem pole for, you know, corporations when thinking about their customers. And we're in a situation where it's sort of like the corporations sort of run the game, and music is at a place in sort of speaking truth to power. And I don't consider us a protest band by any means, but like, yeah, I mean, like I said, we're going to write about our experiences and stuff that matter to us. And that's where we're at.
Yeah, totally. I can definitely dig that. That makes sense. I mean, I was in a department store last night and it was so ridiculous. I had got in line and there was like literally 50 people in the self checkout and then maybe 30 or 40 in the other with one clerk. And I'm like, here's like a multi-million-dollar company. And it's like no respect, you know, for any human life. It's like just, it's crazy. But,
the way that, you know, the way that CEO salaries just sort of inflated during the pandemic while the cost of goods like inflated. It was just wild, man. Wild.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that a lot of this is self-orchestrated? I mean, some people think that, you know, there's actually some branches of U.S. government admitted that the Wuhan lab basically was working on COVID and that it got moved over from the U.S. And do you believe that whole thing was deliberately, you know, orchestrated in the Agenda 21? Do you think that whole thing is real or not?
All I can really say about that is that whether it was or not, I don't know if it changes my daily, like, day-to-day life and how I'm going to approach the way that I'm living, you know?
Yeah.
I think that there's a huge mistrust of information that's given from, you know, large, whether it's the news or the government I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
All I can know and all I can speak on is what I feel like I do know. And that was one of those things where it's like, you know, initially it was like a conspiracy theory that it was started in Wuhan lab and then it was like, no, of course not. And then it comes out that like, well, actually,
yeah.
And it's, you know, it just makes you, it's frightening, the world of misinformation and world that we kind of live in. And yeah,
right.
All I can say about it is that like, whether or not they're, regardless of the truth of any of that, like I'm still gonna go and play this show, and
right on.
I'm
gonna go on.
And,
yeah,
you know, but I'll take everything that I hear with a grain of salt, as I think that everyone should, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's good attitude. You mentioned that when you were growing up, you were not allowed for a while to listen to secular music. Tell me about that. Like, what was that about? How did that occur?
Yeah, so my parents were like fundamental Baptists.
Wow.
So I could only listen to like piano-based church hymns.
Oh, wow.
Christian rock was absolutely off the table. I wasn't allowed to watch anything but black and white movies because my dad thought that once color came in that Hollywood went to shit.
No way.
which is funny because there are some really violent, heavy black and white movies.
Yeah. Some great ones, though.
yeah. So I would have to, I would wait until they went to sleep and I had a little FM radio.
Wow.
To and listen to it in my headphones.
Wow.
To get my fix. And, yeah, that kind of changed everything for me, you know, hearing, like Deftones for the first time.
That's awesome. I interviewed Chia. Well, ages ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I hope, you know, they're still around. I mean, what do your parents think now of the band?
They are accepting.
Okay.
They are accepting. You know, they're cool. Like, well, it's making something of yourself. It's different than what we would wanted, but they can tell that I'm touching people's lives and that it's having a positive impact. Now, whether or not I'm bringing them towards the church or farther away from it, it's beside the point. I think they do. They are proud of what I'm doing, even if they don't quite understand it.
Well, that's awesome. They should be. What are your thoughts on basically speaking of, you know, church type of, or not even church, but spiritual aspect? What do you think happens to a person when they're gone, when they've, you know, they're no longer in their body? Do you believe in a awareness beyond death?
Yeah, I think the thing that resonates with me the most right now is that some part of us goes back to something larger that we're all sort of a part of.
Mm.
Been thinking a lot about reincarnation lately, and cool. You know, the different lives that we've lived and the different reasons for that and coming back and the lessons that we have to learn. But again, like, I just don't know. I don't know, but I do in my gut, you know, it feels like there is something larger, but not necessarily pulling strings. It's sort of like we're all a part of it and we're making all of it happen. We're sort of co-creating this reality together.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, definitely. I agree. Very cool. Well, Jonathan, I know we discussed like 20 minutes here. I know you're playing tonight soon, but is there anything you want to discuss or say before we get off the line?
No, I think we covered everything. You know, I think just like if anybody is, you know, reading or listening to this and is, you know, a musician themselves or creative or just a human being who... I feel like we do this, especially because of social media, there's like this constant like comparison thing that we do to everybody else's lives, and we sort of grass is greener and stuff, and everybody's going through struggles and things like that. And
yeah,
I've gone through a lot of struggles to get to the place where we're still struggling, but with
really?
Things, you know, I think if I had to like leave with anything, it's just that, like, you know, there's nobody's living like we're all struggling. We're all struggling. And the more that we recognize that everyone is, then I feel like that gives a little bit of alleviation to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, everyone's got their own trip and, you know, own issues. So,
yeah. And like, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And if you're dealing with something, there's likely somebody else who's dealt with something similar who would probably talk to you about it, and you should seek them out.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's good advice. That makes sense. Very cool. Well, I had the pleasure to meet you, just last remark here at Cruel World Festival, and, you know, it was really cool meeting you in person. Great speaking with you here. Really loving your music. What was that like for you, by the way? Playing Cruel World. I know that was a huge, huge event.
Yeah, that was unreal. That's just sort of, you know, we had another festival in Phoenix the next day.
Sweet.
I just took a bite of a very spicy shrimp taco. It gave me the hiccups.
Didn't hear it.
We played a festival at Twin Tribes the next day.
This guy's great.
Spin just did a feature on us like 2 days after that.
Nice, congrats.
Yeah, man. Thank you. It's just the momentum feels super palpable right now.
Yeah.
We just feel like we're ready to take on the world. We've got a new record, and we're currently negotiating with a label on that, and that deal's looking like it's going to go through. We just changed our booking agencies to Rocky Road. So that's the same booking agent as Twin Tribes, and She Wants Revenge.
Nice.
So we're just looking forward to just, you know, kicking as much ass as we can over the next 12 months and seeing what happens.
Right on. Well, I know you will, Jonathan. You guys rock, man. I'm a fan. So keep up the great work. And, yeah, it's really good to meet you. I'm going to take us off speaker here. Subnormal speaking with Jonathan Urban Heat. Great to have you here.